that row in our gospel reading about who is the greatest is transformed by Jesus when he shows that the greatest is not the one who can accumulate power, but the one who is empty of power in the world. He uses the example of the child, but you could replace child with anyone who is relentlessly sidelined or left out of what we think is great. We live in a world of accumulation, the drawing to ourselves of things like power, the esteem of others, money, possessions, trinkets, and baubles. And if we think this is what makes us great, then the gospel warns us that we are seriously deluding ourselves. The letter to James, our first reading, describes in hard-hitting terms the corrosiveness of this acquisitive approach to life. This is a spiritual issue. This matters. It matters for us here at the cathedral at the moment because we are focusing on stewardship in these weeks before Harvest Festival. Harvest, of course, is about gathering in that which we have planted and tended, but to which God has given the growth. So harvest is about being thankful. Stewardship, likewise. God bestows upon each of us gifts that we sow for growth, that we do not accumulate and store up for ourselves. The grain needs sowing or it needs milling, otherwise it will sit and rot. When we sow the grain, we are, as it were, giving it away. Sowing the grain becomes an act of thanksgiving. So grain exists for more than itself. As Jesus tells us, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is at the heart of the Eucharist, what we do now, where we see that Christ exists for more than himself. Christ lived, died, and now reigns to draw us to the source of life. Now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Each and every week, the Eucharist shapes who we are as stewards of the good gifts of God. The Eucharist tells us all we need to know about stewardship. It is a gratuitous transaction, a gift without cost. Here, the ordinary, the meagre, the empty becomes divine, lavish, and overflowing. And the transformation of the ordinary stuff of things is the Spirit's gift, as is the wisdom on which the letter of James was reflecting. That same Spirit transforms all she chooses to breathe upon. The Spirit breathing on the brooding waters at the creation, which brings forth teeming life and abundance. The Spirit that breathes into dry bones and puts flesh upon them so that they become a holy people to God's glory. The Spirit that breathes on Mary, enabling her to be the God-bearer, the mother of the Lord. The Spirit breathes on the disciples in the upper room, enabling them to speak the language of God to the diverse nations and peoples of the world. The Spirit never stops breathing. The Spirit breathes on you and on me, transforming the offering of our lives, whether that's our hopes and ambitions, our supposed productivity and our worth, or our money and our giving. Perhaps the trouble with having a stewardship campaign is that we think that stewardship then is something bolted on, a discrete area of life that's not connected to what it means to be a Christian day by day. Yet Jesus promised the gift of life in its abundance. So we see that giving is about living. Giving is at the heart of God, God's free, gracious gift of life. I have never paid a penny to be alive, and yet I am. A gratuity is not just something added on to a rather hefty bill in a restaurant at the end of the evening for the waiter that you graciously dispense out of your bounty. Gratuity is one of the most fundamental descriptions of God. And from this gratuity, that which is freely given and freely giving, comes gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Words attributed to St. Francis of Assisi connect this gratuitous exchange of giving and receiving to the resurrection itself. Famously, he says, it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And this has a direct, practical, ethical bearing on how we live our lives as people who live to give and give to live. This is about tomorrow morning as much as it's about this morning. As Ecclesiasticus puts it, do not let your hand be stretched open when it's time to receive and closed when it's time to give. That's a rather challenging image. Hands stretched out to receive God's gifts and God's blessing, not least when we receive that broken bread, and yet clenched when it's time for us to give. It's a challenging image, yes, because it's one that good stewards know is instinctively wrong. When we open our hands to receive, we know we need to keep them open, ready to give. And so that's where being stewards is a lifelong feature of being Christian, a sign and mark of our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Stewardship, this act of receiving and giving, should not be a foreign language to us, because it is the language of the Lord, the giver of life, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and dwelling in me. This is the vocabulary, if you like, of God's abundant gifts in creation. And here we learn it afresh in the Eucharist, with our hands open to receive and open to give. Our readings today, our Eucharistic action, call us back to the giver of all good gifts, the one who entrusts to us, each one of us, the gift of life. The disciples had to give away their ambition, their sharpened elbows pushing each other out of the way. And they had to see that the littlest person is the greatest, just as the smallest of sacrificial gifts is the biggest. Christ's hands stayed open even as nails pierced them to the cross, as he clung on to nothing other than God's mercy. We stretch out our hands to receive, needy as we are. And by God's grace, may we keep our hands and our hearts open to be generous in giving and blessing, that our hands may be the hands of Christ, giving that the world might live. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.